All right, BroPod special episode today. Today is Thursday, January 30th. Doing a special pod, putting it out there to talk about the Kobe Bryant situation. As many of you know, who have either listened to this podcast or just know me personally, you are keenly aware that I'm a Lakers fan, always have been. And for those of you that do not live under a rock, you know by now that Kobe was in a fatal helicopter crash this past Sunday, I believe the 26th of January, 2020, that killed both Kobe, his daughter, 13-year-old daughter Gianna, and seven other passengers. Listen, obviously it's a terrible tragedy across the board. It's nine people total, but I'm going to be talking about mostly Kobe and, to a lesser extent, his daughter. That's the reason everyone's talking about it. That's the reason ESPN has turned into KOB. I mean, that, you know, again, it's a horrible tragedy, but people die commuting every day, and it's not taking up hours and hours of time on ESPN. So that's why we're here. I'm not trying to downplay the loss of life for the other seven passengers besides Kobe and his daughter, but I will obviously be focusing on the Kobe portion of it. So I just wanted to get that out of the way at the top. And I'm doing this because, you know, having a podcast is a unique platform to communicate in all sorts of ways. And, you know, if I think about the podcast that Todd and I have done for the past 3 years or so, 2.5 years, you know, a lot of it's just gibberish and crap, let's be honest. But, you know, there are a lot of things in there, a lot of discussions in there, a lot of funny moments in there that we now have forever. If we ever wanted to go back and listen to it, I certainly might. Todd absolutely will not, but at least it's there. It's there for history, and we can't take it away. So for that reason, you know, and many others that I'll get into here in a minute, I felt obligated, not in a bad way, but I just felt obligated to do this. And post it, and, you know, why am I doing it now? Why am I doing it today on a Thursday? To be quite honest, I thought about this on Sunday night, the day it happened. I thought about just getting on mic and kind of letting my feelings get out there. I'm glad I didn't in retrospect, because a lot has come out, not like, you know, things that reveal that I didn't know, although there were some things I didn't know, but, you know, a lot of tributes have already happened, obviously various teams doing their thing. A lot of people have spoken. Even yesterday, his wife came out with a post on Instagram. So in retrospect, I'm glad that I did wait, because now I have more information, more things that I can potentially speak to. And I think at the end, it was actually a better decision. And also, you know, I've been thinking about this. I thought about you know, things I might say, what would I go over in this podcast? I thought about it on my runs the past 3 or 4 days, even up to this morning. I ran this morning and I thought about it. And I'm going to run again tonight. And I probably for the first time in 4 days won't think about it, because this podcast will be over. I might think back on what I said and think of things I could have changed. But, you know, so I wanted to get my thoughts together. I wanted to have the time to reflect myself. And also, the reason I mentioned that I've been thinking about it a lot the past few days is, I don't think it's happened today, but today's the first time since Sunday that I didn't watch something or listen to something that someone else had said and start losing my shit. Like, I couldn't hold it together. So I think I'll be okay today. I should be able to get through this, you know, without having an emotional response. So it's another reason I'm doing it when I'm doing it. And again, I'm not, you know, I also want to make it very clear. I'm not doing a special podcast because I'm trying to deify or canonize Kobe as, you know, something more than he was, but he was a, you know, a very special figure in my life. And as I said on a Facebook post that I made on Sunday night, I think it was Sunday night, like, I can't think of someone's death that affected me as much as this one in terms of people that I've never met. I've literally never met him. I've seen him in person a couple of times. I'll go into that as well. But I've never actually, You know, I never had the opportunity to shake his hand or speak to him in person, and yet his death is clearly having a major effect on me. I mean, obviously in my life, I've lost grandparents, I've lost pets. My mom died 13 years ago. Oh my goodness, 14 years ago in March. And obviously those all had major impacts on me. But those are family members. Those are people you know very, very well. But Kobe's death, again, had a really surprising, I guess is the word, impact on me, particularly because it's someone that I've never met, never had the chance to meet. So anyway, so I'm going to kind of go through that. And again, this, I won't drag this on too long, probably 20, 25 minutes is what I'm kind of shooting for here, but I just want to get these thoughts out and kind of speak to the podcast community, you know, the dozen people that listen religiously to the show. And listen, if you're not a Kobe fan or, you know, I mean, if you don't care that this happened, I don't think you're human, but you know, if you don't care to listen to it anymore, cause you're sick of talking about it or sick of hearing about it, that's fine. This podcast isn't for you then, this particular episode at least. But you know, I'm doing it mostly for myself, but if anyone else gets something out of it, that's great too. So the way I found out that this actually happened, the wife and I were having a discussion, disagreement, argument, call it what you will, on Sunday. And it was starting to calm down, and we decided we were going to go out on our back porch, that we have a porch that you get to from the master bedroom, and just kind of sit outside for a while. It was a nice day here in Denver on Sunday. And before we went out there, she was using the restroom, and while I'm sitting there, just checking my phone, and Todd actually texted me, and I'll actually read what happened. But he texted me, and he said, "Did you hear about Kobe?" And to put it in context, as most of you know by now, you have to remember that Kobe, the day before, had been passed by LeBron. LeBron is now the third highest scorer of all time in the NBA. And that happened literally 14, 15 hours before his helicopter went down. And so anyway, Todd texted me, I'm literally reading it, "Have you heard the Kobe news?" And then he sent me a Twitter from Adrian Wojnarowski, who is a very well-known NBA reporter who has all the scoop on everything. And it was at 12:55 on Sunday, 12:55 Mountain Time. And the odd thing is, I still don't know why I did this necessarily. I didn't even click on the link. Immediately I thought it must be something where Kobe sent like a really cool tweet to LeBron, or maybe he actually, you know, someone caught him on video privately saying something bad about the fact that LeBron passed. You know, I assumed that had something to do with LeBron passing. Obviously, I never in my wildest dreams thought he was dead. And so I went to Google and just typed in Kobe Bryant, knowing that there would be an article or 1,000 articles, which of course there were, that would tell me immediately what Todd was talking about. So I didn't even click on the link that he sent me in a text. I don't know why. And a minute later, I said, "Wow." And then I said, "No, I hadn't. Jesus Christ." And he said, "Fucking insane." And that was the sum total of our conversation. And then, of course, you know, within a couple hours, I'd heard from my friend Rohan, who's a big Celtics fan, knew I was a Lakers fan. Later that night, I heard from a friend who I haven't spoken to in years, that I didn't even go to high school with him. I went to middle school with him. He, ironically, also a Celtics fan. And he sent me a message on Facebook Messenger and said, you know, we were just kind of chatting about it real quick. And I ended that conversation with, "Good to hear from you." Like, I never expected to hear from him. So I'm not saying that to say, look at me, I got a lot of friends, but it's like people know how much of a diehard Lakers fan I am, to the point where a guy, again, it's probably been 15 years since I spoke to this guy, maybe more. A guy I hadn't talked to in that long still reached out and was like, you know, what's going on? How you doing? Excuse me. And so that's how I found out. And then, of course, the rest of that day, the rest of that evening, I was just glued to the TV. And I, at one point, I'd go out and run some errands, and I turned the radio on and listened to sports talk. Like, I consumed all the coverage I could, and that continued into Monday morning, where I watch a show on ESPN Monday morning called Get Up, which, you know, ESPN may as well be called NFL. Like, they live and die by the NFL. They make a lot of money off the NFL too. But, and again, this happened the week before the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is this coming Sunday. It's 3 days away. And so I assumed, obviously, that, and this show Get Up loves talking about football too. Like, they always have football players on and this, that, and the other thing. And so I got up in time to, it starts at 6 a.m. out here. It's 6 to 8 a.m. I got up in time to watch it, and I was shocked. Oh, also, the Pro Bowl happened on Sunday. The NFL's Pro Bowl happened on Sunday. And I was shocked to see that the entire show, entire 2 hours on Monday, all they talked about was Kobe Bryant. They didn't mention the Pro Bowl. They didn't mention the Super Bowl. It was like there was only one sport and there was only one person involved in the sport, and it was Kobe Bryant. And I was pleasantly surprised by that, because again, I was just, I almost watched it just to, I mean, obviously I wanted to see if there were any updates and see what people were saying and doing, but I also was like, I guarantee you they're going to get to some sort of football shit at some point. And they never did. And they did the first half hour. Normally they do the first 20 minutes and then take like 8 minutes of commercials, come back for 30 seconds, do another couple minutes, and then come back at the half hour and continue the show. The first half hour was commercial free, just people talking about it, people reacting to it. So kudos to them. Kudos to Get Up. And by the way, all those shows, all those morning shows have continued. They've done less and less each successive day, but they have continued to primarily focus on Kobe and the impact and all that sort of stuff. And again, the different different things that teams around the league have done. And so that's great. That's good. It's good to see. So I wanted to give a quick history. A lot of you guys know this, and many of you probably don't care, but whatever. It's my podcast. I'm talking. You can listen or you can turn it off, of kind of my history. So I don't remember when I first watched an NBA game, but, you know, I certainly missed the 1980 and the 1982 championships. I may have seen a game or two in 85 when the Lakers won, but for some reason, for whatever reason, early on in the 80s, mid to late 80s, I became a Lakers fan, and I've been a Lakers fan ever since. And again, I don't know how that happened exactly. I could ask my dad. He might not remember either, or might not know. But it was because they were a great team. It was Lakers versus Celtics. You know, most people my age, I think, unless they lived in a city that had a different team, I did not. I grew up in South Carolina, had professional basketball. I liked basketball as a sport. I was going to glom onto a team. You kind of took your pick because they were the two teams, and I picked the Lakers. And so certainly in 87 and 88, I remember watching, you know, Magic and those teams win those two championships back-to-back. And they were in the championship. They were in the finals, I think, 8 of the 10 years in the 80s. They were always in it. And even into the 90s, they played Detroit one of those times, and they played Chicago. Michael Jordan won his first title against Magic, and Magic's kind of last hurrah there. And so I grew up a Lakers fan. Been a Lakers fan forever. Magic Johnson, I had multiple posters of Magic up in my room. To this day, I would still say Magic is my idol, although I think idols are things that, you know, kind of kids have. I don't know that I have an idol anymore. I'm 40 years old, but he was always my idol. He was my hero. He was what I wanted to be until about 13 or 14 when I realized I was never going to make it even to 6 feet and I was a short white kid. But still, that was who I looked up to. That was who I strived to be. You know, what are you going to do? To the point where when Magic famously made, quote unquote, the announcement, in late 91, I remember where I was. I was sitting, we had a rental house because we were building our house in Columbia and we'd moved back from Arkansas. When I was sitting on the floor of my rental house, I got home from school, I think. I was at school, it doesn't matter. And I was watching that on the TV. And for some reason, to this day, I don't know why I did this, but I still remember this, clear as day. I said to myself, the day he dies, the day Magic Johnson dies, because again, you got to keep in mind, this is the early 90s. When he made the announcement he was HIV positive, it was a death sentence. And, you know, there's a 30 for 30 movie about it, and everyone said that. And it's true. That's how I felt. I was like, whether it's 6 months or 6 years, it's going to be somewhere in between those two time frames. On the day he dies, I'm going to fast. I'm not going to eat. Why I said that, I don't know. I mean, thinking back on it now, it's kind of a little silly. But again, that's I say that to say that's kind of the point of how impactful he was. You know, again, it's a sports star, but I was like, the day he dies, I'm not going to eat. like at a protest. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking, but that's what I said. And by the way, I still intend to do that if I can. You know, I don't know exactly how it's going to work. Like if he dies midday, do I fast the next day? I don't know. I haven't put too much thought into it since I said it almost 30 years ago, but that's the impact that Magic and therefore the Lakers had on me. And then, so, you know, then he kind of semi-retired. He came back. He did the Dream Team in 92, obviously. He did the Magic Hour. He had a bunch of good and bad things that happened over the next 5 or 6 years until after his failed reattempt at playing again in 96, he finally said, all right, I'm hanging him up. Excuse me. And he was done. And right around that time, so there were a few lean years in there when Eddie Jones led the team and Nick Van Exel led the team and Cedric Ceballos led the team. And then you had Kobe come in the 97 season, drafted 13th by Charlotte, traded. I mean, you guys know the story. And he came in that 97 year. And, you know, I'd seen, again, the 24-hour news cycle, specifically 24-hour sports news cycle, wasn't nearly as prevalent as it is today. So it's not like I saw the footage of when he announced he was taking his talents to the NBA. And by the way, he coined that phrase. So way to go, LeBron, for stealing that, trying to steal all his glory. Kobe said, I'm taking my talents to the NBA. And then LeBron famously years later said, I'm taking my talents to Miami or South Beach, whatever he said. I don't know. Anyway, so he, you know, first couple of years were not good. They were not great. He was that brash, cocky kid coming straight out of high school. Not a lot of people were doing it back then. More than half of them flamed out and didn't work out. You know, Kevin Garnett, Kobe, Tyson Chandler, I think it was. There are a few guys that made it and had long careers and were successful, but most of them didn't. But, you know, he came out and, you know, obviously everybody knows about the, I think it was 99, the Utah series where he shot 4 air balls and now everyone's hearing the story about how that exact incident, that game, that series really motivated him. Like, I'm never going to do that again. And sure enough, obviously in 2000, 2001, 2002, they won the three-peat, won the championship. He and Shaq, had joined the team around the same time. There were a couple of years where they were kind of building up, figuring out who they were. And then all of a sudden they were a mini dynasty, if you will. Of course that famously broke up in 2004, but at that point, again, being a diehard Lakers fan, what am I going to do but cling on to both of those guys, you know? And, but then when Shaq left and Kobe stuck around, I was like, all right, I'm a Kobe guy. I'm a diehard Kobe guy, right? And so, you know, you continue on. You got the 2007 season where he had those 5 games in a row where he averaged like 48 points over 5 games. I mean, that was his MVP season. They weren't winning championships. Shaq had left. They were still a good team, but not good enough. It was kind of frustrating. They couldn't get over the hump. And then, of course, they made the famous trade in 2008 to get Pau Gasol. Like, all this stuff is happening. And all the while, what was the one common thread? Love him or hate him, what was the one common thread? And it was Kobe. You know, it wasn't all highs. 2003, out here where I live now, he had the alleged sexual assault. And say what you will in the comments, call me on all you want. The criminal trial was thrown out, all right? So it's an alleged sexual assault. And I mean, that made him, you know, that made him an outcast. He lost a lot of fans over that. I'm sure he did. And he was at the peak of his career at that point. They just won back-to-back-to-back championships. And that happened. So, and then in 2006, 2007, 2008, around that period, I'm not exactly sure when the contracts were up, you know, he made threats, if you will, that he was going to go play for Chicago or he was going to go play for the Clippers. That did not endear him to a lot of Lakers fans either. So, but then again, they got Pau, they come back, they win in 09, they win in 10. And again, he cemented his legacy as one of the greatest Lakers of all time. Magic Johnson says the greatest Laker of all time. And he puts himself on that, you know, Mount Olympus of basketball players at that point. On a lot of people's Mount Rushmore at that point. Many people say LeBron has since kicked him off. Whatever, it doesn't matter, you know. As I've heard many people say in the past few days, if you agree that Michael Jordan was the greatest player of all time, the GOAT, for basketball, Kobe's the closest, you know, facsimile that we have to Jordan. And that's indisputable. That doesn't mean he's necessarily as good as Jordan. You might say, all right, so he's the second best two guard of all time. Whatever you want to say, he's the closest thing. Mannerisms, abilities, turnaround Jays, fallaway Jays, everything about him was very similar to Michael. So if you love Michael, you think Michael's the greatest, Kobe's the next best thing. So anyway, it doesn't matter, you know, at this point where he lands in your pantheon. It's indisputable. He's one of the top 10 players of all time, regardless of position. I take on anyone that would like to challenge me. Todd probably would, but he's not here, so fuck him. So anyway, you know, so after the back-to-back championships, which could have been a three-peat, but they lost to Boston in 08. I mean, they could have had a three-peat or a four-peat several times. They should have won in 2004 when they had the Karl Malone, Gary Payton team. Like, they were just, I mean, you know, a couple balls bounce a different direction. Kobe could have had 6, 7, 8 rings as opposed to just 5. Magic Johnson would say the same thing. He could have easily had 6. There was an errant pass James Worthy made. Whatever, I don't need to go into depth. But the point is, you know, then he finished out his career. He got injured a few times in those later years in the early and mid-2010s. And in 2016, he obviously famously had the 60-point game against Utah as his final game in April 2016. And Mamba out. And he retired. And he entered into a phase of his life where not a lot of people knew what he was doing. I mean, those, you know, in the inner circle certainly knew, but a lot of America didn't know until all of a sudden 2018, boom, he wins an Oscar. It's like, what? He did what now? He won an Oscar? He won an Oscar. Best animated short. I'm actually going to play it at the end of this podcast if I can find it. It's called Dear Basketball. Just a little 2.5-minute short of him writing a love letter to basketball at the end of his career. So, you know, a very heartstringy type thing, but got him an Oscar, right? All right, so now he's a 5-time NBA champion. He's got an Oscar. He's got, at that point, he's got 3 daughters. He eventually had a 4th just last summer. You know, he wrote a series of children's books. He had this, the whole Mamba mentality, academy. He was hosting and coaching his daughter, obviously, which is why this whole thing happened at the basketball arena that he had built, Thousand Oaks. That's where he was going. He was flying from Orange County, Newport Beach area, up to Thousand Oaks, a very cloudy day, and that's how the helicopter went down just 5 days ago. So, again, he kind of reinvented himself into being a new man, and people were just getting glimpses of that, but he didn't care. Like, he was just going to keep doing the things he wanted to do, he wanted to achieve. And it's come out all over the place since this happened that everybody who was close to him knew that. Like, knew what he was doing, knew what the quote-unquote Mamba mentality was, knew that, you know, it's all about do whatever you can, have a drive to succeed, maximize your, you know, your talents, your opportunities, all that stuff. And that was kind of what he had become, what he was focusing on in his second chapter. And that's, you know, that's the real tragedy here. I think a lot of people have been pointing this out is, you know, he had really just started the second chapter. I mean, the guy dedicated 20 years to the NBA, not to mention 4 years prior in high school and who knows how many years in middle school. I mean, dying at 41, having a 20-year career, plus we'll say another 8, so 28 out of 41 years, being pretty much completely dedicated to basketball, he'd only had the last 3 years, 3.5 years, to become the father he probably always wanted to be, meaning he had the time now to dedicate to his kids. He had the time now to dedicate to his creative ventures and his investing and the academy, the Mamba mentality, the nonprofit that he and his wife put together. And that's the, you know, in my opinion, that's where a lot of the tragedy lies. It's like he just turned that page for that next chapter, and now the book was yanked away from him. You know, had he lived a standard life, another 30, 35 years, who knows what kind of stuff he could have put together. More Oscars, maybe a Grammy, you know, obviously more books, more teaching, more mentorship. Again, something I didn't even really know about, but a lot of people have come out and talked about is he was a real proponent for well, women's athletics in its entirety, but specifically the WNBA, women's basketball, you know, could he have really put that league and that sport into the limelight? Because right now the WNBA is not a major sport. You know, women's soccer is turning the corner and definitely building speed and momentum, but the WNBA is just not there. It needs some help. And apparently he was really instrumental in that. He was showing up. He was doing things. He was mentoring. He was teaching. He was coaching. He was pushing people to get interested in women's college basketball and women's professional basketball. And, you know, now that's lost on us. So yeah, that to me, that's the saddest part. And when I hear these people, I hear, you know, Shaq had a tearful 7-minute commentary on Kobe on TNT on Tuesday night, the night they were supposed to play the Clippers, but that game was postponed. And he talked about, you know, how he just wish he would have reached out to him some more because, you know, they both get busy, but you're never too busy to just reach out and just say, hey, and just let that person know that you love them, you care about them, and what have you. A lot of people have said that, you know, a lot of people that were friends with him, current players and ex-players. And that, again, that's the thing that most people are seeing as the tragedy here. Again, the loss of life is the obvious tragedy, but, you know, you look beyond that. Well, what are we missing? What is the world missing? And that's what a lot of people are saying is missing. You know, again, I got to see him 5 times. I saw him once in LA. I saw a playoff game in 2012 against Oklahoma City. I saw him twice in Charlotte because I lived in South Carolina. I saw him once in Miami. I was down there for work. And then I saw him once here in Denver. And that was, I believe, 2015. And that was a game where he played the first half and then he left. And that was kind of the beginning of a lot of his injuries, which, you know, ultimately limited the number of games he could play in his final couple of years and, you know, really hamstrung him, no pun intended, although I don't think it was a hamstring injury, but hamstrung him and his ability to, you know, score more points and set more records and do all those sorts of things. But so, you know, I'm thankful and I consider myself lucky, obviously, that I did get to see him those 5 times, but, you know, and now he's gone. And again, I mentioned earlier, there were a bunch of tributes throughout the league. No one, I don't think anyone really ever thought about this, but he started the first half of his career, he was number 8, and then he turned to number 24. And so conveniently, a lot of teams started off their games this week with one team taking a 24-second violation, just not shooting the ball, because that's a shot clock violation, the next team holding it in the backcourt for 8 seconds. And that was a very convenient way for a lot of teams to, you know, just do their part. You know, a lot of players, Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, a lot of players across the league didn't even play their next game after this happened. They were just, you know, they couldn't pull it together and couldn't play. And that's, again, all of that stuff, all of it. And Mark Cuban, by the way, retiring the number 24 for the Dallas Mavericks forever, saying no Maverick will ever wear number 24. And a lot of other teams have followed suit with that too. So again, all of these tributes and all of these, you know, positive comments really proving the impact and, you know, the love that a lot of the NBA past and present had and has for Kobe. I also found out today that the All-Star game this year, which is only a few weeks away, is going to do a new format where in the final quarter, they're going to take the higher team score and add 24 to it. And it's a race to that point total. So if it's 100-90, at the start of the fourth quarter, the first team to score 124 points wins, which is interesting. It's something they'd kind of toyed with before, but now they have that number. And they say they're doing it in the spirit of Kobe's competitiveness. Now there's something to compete for because a lot of people have, you know, talked shit about the All-Star game in years past, but now they don't care. They're just out there fooling around. They play no defense, which I'm sure will still be true. But, yeah, I think that's a nice little nod. And I'm sure they'll do some more stuff. I'm assuming at some point down the road they'll create a Kobe Bryant Award, you know, to go along with MVP and Sixth Man and all that. They'll have something. I would imagine. I'm speculating here, but I would imagine they'll put something together like that. So, again, just, you know, rough week for the NBA. Certainly the Laker family. They're going to play tomorrow night. Friday night is their first game against the Trailblazers. It's going to be their first game since the accident. So, I'll obviously be watching that. I'm sure they'll have a lot of tributes and things that that they'll present during that game. But yeah, just horrible, man. Just again, you know, kind of coming full circle. It's one of those things where it's person, like I said, it's a person I've never met. I'd seen him at those games. I saw him at the, I was actually at the championship parade in 2001 when I moved out to LA after college. So I saw him from afar in downtown LA. That's, you know, right there in front of Staples Center, the house that Kobe built, as they say. But it just, it really impacted me, man. It really hit me hard. And there were lots of sad moments. And again, not to pull back the curtain too much about my personal life here, but the thing that gets me in situations like this is just when you see, especially grown men, but anyone, when you see anybody getting super emotional, just talking about somebody and choking up and, you know, I mean, I had my moments too, when I'm watching, you know, some of the tributes and things on TV. But I went back, you know, I watched that part of that 60-point game that he had, his final game. And it was just fun. It was fun to see that. And I got a lot of those on the DVR. I have 32 Los Angeles Lakers items on my DVR. They're not all Kobe games, but in fact, most of them are not. But I know some of them are. And I have the Kobe and Shaq interview that they did on NBA TV. I'm going to just, you know, watch those and enjoy them and remember who he was and the greatness and the competitiveness and all that stuff. And yeah, you know, that's what I'm going to remember. But again, it does leave a gaping hole. You know, it's a big hole in the Lakers family, and it's going to take a long, long time to recover. But again, you know, the thing that everyone keeps harping on is it's a reminder that doesn't matter how big a star you are, how successful you are, how much money you have, you know, it can all be taken in an instant. And it's just unfortunate that it had to happen. And again, as I said at the top, you know, it wasn't just Kobe. It was his 13-year-old daughter. Very tragic, obviously, Vanessa, Kobe's wife, left with three young girls to raise now. Two very young and one a teenager, but still three daughters to raise by herself. And of course, the seven other passengers. So just a true tragedy, and it sucks, man. It really sucks. But, you know, again, unfortunately, I'm very familiar with tragedy. And what I would say to any of the friends and family of those people is it does get better. It does get easier. You never forget, obviously. But, you know, with each passing day, it does ever so slightly get a little better. It doesn't mean that 3 months from now you might not have a day where you just can't get out of bed. It's just rough. But, you know, those people will persevere. I know you know, Kobe's family will persevere. If they learned anything from him about the whole Mamba mentality, they'll know that they can push through, and they'll continue to do good things and continue on with his legacy, hopefully, as best as they can, with the help of everyone, friends, family, and specifically the Laker family, I would hope. So yet to be seen, but that would be my guess at this point. So that's it. I just wanted to get on and talk, and I went a little longer than I thought, so I apologize for that, but just wanted to get my thoughts out there. Again, I'm going to play Dear Basketball here to end the show. I do not own the rights to this, so whatever, but it's not like I'm making any money on it. I'm just trying to share it for those people that may have never heard it or seen it. Obviously, this is only an audio medium. It's better if you see the great animation that goes with it, but the point is there. So again, you know, tragedy, and just sucks. It just really sucks. So big ups to Kobe, and big ups to his family. Again, don't know them either, obviously, but, you know, thoughts and prayers, all that stuff. And I hope that they can find peace and continue their lives in a positive way. So that's it for this week. Just a quick special episode. Just wanted to get those thoughts out there. So if you made it this far, thanks for listening. And here is Kobe's Oscar-winning poem, Dear Basketball.
A one-point game. Dear Basketball. From the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. A love so deep, I gave you my all. From my mind and body to my spirit and soul. As a six-year-old boy, deeply in love with you, I never saw the end of the tunnel. I only saw myself running out of one. And so I ran. I ran up and down every court after every loose ball for you. You asked for my hustle. I gave you my heart. Because it came with so much more. I played through the sweat and the hurt. Not because challenge called me. But because you called me. I did everything for you. Because that's what you do when someone makes you feel as alive as you've made me feel. You gave a six-year-old boy his Laker dream. And I'll always love you for it. But I can't love you obsessively for much longer. This season is all I have left to give. My heart can take the pounding. My mind can handle the grind. But my body knows it's time to say goodbye. And that's okay. I'm ready to let you go. I want you to know now, so we both can savor every moment we have left together. The good and the bad. We have given each other all that we have. And we both know, no matter what I do next, I'll always be that kid with the rolled up socks, garbage can in the corner, 5 seconds from the clock, ball in my hands. 5, 4, 3. Love you always, Kobe.